Hey, Pat, it's Ariel. How are you?
Hello.
Hello, yeah. Can you hear me? Pat, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So thank you for doing this. I just want to ask, that's really you on Twitter, right? That wasn't someone else that wrote to me? Because sometimes they're fake people.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure, because I get some like fake, some people trying to be someone else. So I just wanted to make sure. Okay, so we'll get right to it. I'm just recording this for transcription purposes. Obviously, you saw the interview with Dana White, and he kind of laid out why you guys have a beef now with the whole Tough situation. Was his portrayal and his recounting of the events, in your mind, is that actually what happened?
Well, basically, yeah, but I mean, Dana doesn't, and overall, first of all, I want to get it clear that interview on ESPN was done over a year ago when I was interviewed. That was, they did that interview when they were doing the piece on my team well over a year ago, probably a year and a half ago, whatever the heck it was. So, you know, that was a very old interview, and by splicing it in there, you know, it obviously made it look like it was a fresh interview. So that's the first thing. I had, you know, for the most part, I'd moved on from any kind of problems, you know, with Dana. I mean, I just decided to just steer clear as much as possible, to be honest with you, of anything. And, you know, so he obviously is going to respond with anger from seeing the interview. But, you know, had he known it was a year and a half old, maybe he would have at least called me and asked me something. But,
so are you disappointed? Are you disappointed that ESPN would do that and try to like, because from someone watching it, it was like, where is this coming? Like they didn't let you give the reason why you thought he was a liar. So it just like seemed like it was out of nowhere and they were trying to pile it on, you know?
Well, you know, there have been several things over the years that have happened, and the Tough show debacle was basically the last, kind of for me, the last straw. I just, you know, I just simply had enough. And so I just, you know, the best thing to do is just remove yourself from being in a position of ending up in arguments with people, you know what I mean? So I just focus on doing other things, you know, I really don't have a desire to fight and argue with people. That's really not me. But at the same time, you know, the way I was raised was, you know, not take any crap from anybody. And some people call that stupid. Some people call it being stubborn. I think Dana and I butt heads a lot because we're both bullheaded. He doesn't take any crap and neither do I. And that's just the way it is.
So he offered you the spot on Tough 3, and then the whole thing, Ken and Tito, because I, you know, until the book, I didn't even know about this. And then, and then obviously you were upset. And then did he offer you the spot in Tough 4 and then something happened for that?
Well, I'll explain the whole thing to you. You know, I was, like I said, like he said, I was on a movie set down in Mexico and we talked on the phone and agreed that I'd coach season 3. And the gentleman that was directing the movie, John Hirschfeld, who was friends with Dana and a good friend of mine, you know, was excited for me. So he was telling basically all the actors, the producers, everybody on the set, hey, Pat's going to be the coach of season 3, you know, and everybody was like, that's cool, that's awesome. So you got guys like Paul Walker, Lawrence Fishburne, the Carradine brothers, you know, and the list goes on and on. And so everybody was, you know, we went to a private golf resort, because the only place we could find that had a TV with pay-per-view so we could watch the fights. So anyway, you know, the cast and the crew and everybody are sitting there watching it, and then Dana gets in the cage and says he's going to announce coaches for season 3. Now, mind you, all the cast and the crew of the movie are like, oh, shit, he's going to announce your name. Then he announces Dana and Ken, and everybody looks at me like, wow, you're a real idiot. You know, so it was embarrassing, to say the least. And It definitely wasn't the right way to go about it. You know, so just that was the last straw, though. There were a lot of other things that had happened over the years that kind of, and I reached a boiling point with that, you know.
And did he ever offer you a spot on Tough 4 afterwards, after you got to speak about that?
Well, right after, you know, I talked to him on the phone when I got back from the movie. And he said, you know, he did apologize, and he said, you know, well, why don't you coach season four? And I was like, dude, there's no way in hell I could possibly trust you at this point. You just pulled the rug, you know. It was like Charlie Brown and Lucy, dude pulled the football out from me, you know. And I didn't want it to happen again. And I at that point said, you know what, I can't trust you. He hadn't done anything up to that point that led me to believe I could trust him. And so I just moved on. The IFL was there and I had to go somewhere where I felt like I could trust people. And, obviously the IFL failed, but, a lot of great fighters were created from it and stuff. So it was a good thing in the end.
And so you mentioned that you talked to ESPN like a year and a half ago, and now this comes up and it kind of like fuels this fire again. Is between that time, like, have you as much as possible cleared the air between you and Dana? Like, are you guys like on speaking terms now?
No, I haven't talked to him, but my agent, Jim Sanson from Gaylord Sports, sent an email over to him. To Dana's assistant, and just said, give Dana the message that Pat, would love to sit down with you and try and clear the air of the past and move forward in a positive way. Because I have no desire to argue with those guys. I would much prefer to get along with people. It's water, for me, it's water under the bridge. I'm fine with moving on in my life. I'm not, I really don't like arguing with people. That's not the way I want to live my life.
And he mentioned in the interview with me that he didn't think that you were very smart, that, you've seen guys around you that have made more money than you, and you're a little bitter about that. What did you hear? What do you think when he said something like that?
Well, you have to understand that Dana's mad about my words, obviously, and he's going to lash out. People have to understand there's a big difference, between being stupid and at times being maybe too nice and too generous to people and letting them get over on you, and also being somebody who's stubborn, who's not going to just bow down to whoever and go along with the crowd just to make a buck. That's not what I'm about. If I feel it's the wrong thing to do, I'm not going to do it, or try my best not to. So I think it's more stubbornness than stupidity. Yeah, I've been hitting the head a lot, but I think I'm still, halfway intelligent anyway. So, I've been in business for 15 years involved in a lot of other companies and businesses. So it's not I'm a stupid guy. I think it's more stubbornness, and I think Dana calling me stupid. Yeah, he's done great things for the UFC, but, I'm not going to change my life and suddenly look at myself in the mirror as being stupid when I'm called stupid by a guy that can't get through a sentence without dropping an F-bomb.
Right. And what about what he said about the money, about like you being bitter about other people in your camp or that you've trained making more money than you?
You know what? I'm not bitter about that at all. I'm glad they've made a great living. That's basically why they started fighting, was to be able to pay their bills. That's awesome. I think more than anything, Dana and, I would say just being disrespected, period, for what I've accomplished, I think is bullshit.
Okay.
There's nobody else out there, and I'm not tooting my own horn, I'm just stating facts. Nobody else has trained more organizational champions, more UFC champions. I've had over 85 guys on television. If they were good enough to fight on television, very good win percentage. And I held the world title for 3.5 years. So being disrespected like I am when I've accomplished what I have and helped build the UFC, I think that's bullshit. The money, whatever. I've got money coming in from other businesses. The disrespect, though, has got to stop.
Okay. And while I have you on the phone, I just want to ask you a couple of other questions about other topics as well. That's pretty much all I have on Dana. At the post-fight press conference on Saturday night, Drew McFedry said that he trained with Matt Hughes in the last few days or weeks leading up to this fight, and he said he was a little disappointed that I don't remember his words exactly, that he felt a little bit ignored by the Miletic camp. What's your take on that?
my take on that is that my entire team and myself are furious with Drew McFedries because we worked our ass off to get him ready for that fight. Four different guys offered to go with him to that fight to corner him. He turned them all down and went and took one of his buddies to the fight. And then not only thanked guys from another camp, which is fine, but they couldn't stop there. And then to say what he said about his teammates and his team for no reason, that no logical reason, was wrong. And he needs to either apologize to his team and do an interview stating the true facts of what went on, you know, or I think there's probably going to be some issues. I love Drew. I think he's a great guy. I think he's gone through some tough times in his life, which we all have. But at some point, he's going to have to talk to his teammates. And, you know, because everyone made it a point to get him ready for that fight. He got a lot of support for that fight. And four guys offered, LC Davis, Ben Rothwell, Noah Ann Hoffer. You know, those guys were offering to go to the fight with him. He turned them all down, took one of his buddies with him, who's got a little bit of MMA experience, and then, you know, said some bad things about his team. It didn't make sense. And Drew said that he meant it differently. I think he felt good, the positive aura that Hughes and Robbie Lawler and Pena were giving off was good for his mental status. But then but the words that came out of his mouth just didn't match the thoughts. That's all I can say.
At this point, is he welcome back to your camp?
That's something that I'm not going to discuss. I think he knows what he's got to do with his teammates to figure that out.
What was the reason that he gave you why he didn't want them to come?
I don't know. One guy's too big, one guy's too small, one guy's too tan, one guy's too white. Hell, I don't know. they were all very experienced guys.
Okay. And you're doing, by the way, I must say, I think you're doing a fantastic, like a really, really great job with the Strikeforce broadcast. I mean, that's been a huge addition to the show. So first off, I tip my cap to you. Great job. You feeling comfortable? And did you think that you would, obviously everyone's their toughest critic, but did you think that you would do this well right off the bat?
Beginner's luck, brother. Beginner's luck. So, everybody at Showtime has been really good to me. They know that I'm new at it. They've been very good at coaching me at it and giving me pointers. Gus Johnson, who's a guy that does a lot of work for CBS, big sporting events and stuff, he's been doing it for years. He's very crisp and a sharp guy, and he's a guy that, you know, they show a lot of patience for me, let's put it that way, and helping me get through things. Moro Ranallo, Stephen Quadros, all those guys are very good at what they do, you know. So they help me a lot, and I'm pretty appreciative of that. But it's fun to be out of your comfort zone. You know, I've been doing fighting and coaching for so many years that to get out in front of the cameras and have to remember what I'm supposed to say and things like that, it's nice to be out of my comfort zone and at least hopefully add to the event and help the folks at home that are watching understand a little more about the game so that they become, you know, a bigger fan. Maybe somebody that's watching for the first time can go, wow, now I'm starting to get it. This is cool stuff. I like it. And there's a lot more going on than I thought there was in the fight, and they become fans also.
Which fight are you most looking forward to next weekend?
I'm looking forward to Rob Lawler and Jake Shields, definitely. I mean, that's a cool matchup. I think, obviously, everybody knows that if it stays on its feet for very long, Rob's probably got the heaviest hands in the sport. And if he connects, he's going to hurt Jake, but Jake's ground game is sick, so, you know, Jake's obviously wanting to get it to the ground. I think the Orlovsky-Brett Rogers fight is pretty interesting, too, because Rogers is so big and strong and such a heavy-handed guy. You know, anything can happen in that one.
How do you feel about calling a Robbie Lawler fight, since you have, like, this long history with him?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not calling that one. Shamrock's going to be calling that one, and then I'm going on the 19th to Seattle, Washington for the next event.
Oh, really? So you're not doing the Showtime card next weekend?
No. I'm gonna go down and watch with a bunch of my fighters, and go down and hang out and have a good time. I can't remember the last time I went to a big event and just sat in the crowd and watched. I don't think I ever have, to be honest with you. So it's gonna be nice.
So you're just going to be doing like the challengers cards? Is that your role now that Shamrock is not fighting for a while again?
I think that's what's going on, yeah. Frank obviously has seniority over me with that organization, so that's fine because there's a ton of great fights on the Challenger Series also.
Okay, and final question. I noticed on your Twitter that you mentioned you are back to training, and I spoke to you like in March, and you said that you'd hope to get one or two more fights in this year, so anything coming up?
I don't know. You want to fight?
I'd love to.
You know what? I'm not sure exactly who. There was talk of Shamrock at one time, which I wouldn't mind fighting him. He had a tough match against Diaz, so I don't know whether that's still going on. And then there's a couple other folks out there that we've been talking with in the boxing world also.
To do an actual boxing match?
That's to be determined.
What weight would you fight at?
Probably 68.
Interesting. Wow. So, but you are expecting to fight in 2009, though. Again.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
No scoops that you could give us today?
Not yet. Not till I sign a piece of paper.
Is it possible that you'll fight for Strikeforce though?
I'd love to fight for Coker. That'd be awesome. I'd love to fight on Showtime. I don't know, you know. I don't know what the status is, though, with how they have things planned and everything. But, yeah, I'd love to fight for Scott.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much for the time. I'll put this up tomorrow. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Eric.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye.